Hey, everybody. Welcome. Have you been enjoying the conference? Yes. How many of you has this been your first Worship God? That's fantastic. I've been to all of them since 2009, I think, now. And it just never fails to be really encouraging. You meet new people. You connect with other worship leaders. You're encouraged by other people's stories and experience and stuff. And yeah, so it's great. So this is a humidifier. This is the acoustic guitar tips. And just to put that into context, we did like an acoustic masterclass before the conference that was almost 4 hours long. And so there we were able to like dig into some stuff. And I still have probably about 10 of those packets that I got. We may be able to make more, but some of that might be really useful to you. You can also check out my website, Patrick Anderson Guitar. I have a blog on there that is in desperate need of being added to recently, but there's a lot on there for like acoustic players and electric players and stuff. And you can find my email address there. And I encourage you to get in touch if you have questions, because we can only do so much in an hour. And it's just an encouragement for me to be here around other people who are serving faithfully at different places. If I can help you in any way, I'm overjoyed to do so. And if you have questions, just, I've had tons of people just email me like, hey, what do you, blah, blah, blah. If you don't hear from me, it's because I have a family and small children and I'm maybe playing Legos or just trying to catch up on a couple of years of lost sleep. but just like email me again and I won't take offense to that. In fact, I'd appreciate it. Let's pray for the time really fast before we dive in. Father, we are grateful for this time, for the reminder in this conference of who you are, your mercy to us through Christ, and what you've called us to do in response and service to the church. Would you bless this time and make it useful? Would you bless all who are here and where they serve? Lord, we do this for your glory and for you. We ask you bless this time in our Savior's name. Amen. Okay, so again, this is acoustic guitar tips. It's like not going to be the four-hour masterclass where we get into tons and tons of stuff, but I want to do as much as we possibly can. And every one of these, we have an outline. You see the outline. I guess this is for me to follow. Well, I put this together, so it's for me to follow. But I kind of want to know a little bit about like you, and maybe we'll spend the first 5 minutes just kind of taking some questions so I can maybe filter this information into ways that will be specifically helpful to you and not just me sort of talking at you. in 10 seconds, my name is Patrick Anderson. I'm from the West Coast, played with Enfield Crew forever, taught at Cedar Valley University teaching music and worship. Then I was involved at Sovereign Grace Church Plant there. Now we're in Florida, where I serve as a worship pastor at an EV Free Church in Daytona Beach area. So that's me. And for all you all, I guess, is there something you are really hoping to get out of this time right now? I'm watching the clock because I feel like there's so much I want to do in 1 hour or whatever we have. So yeah, is there something you would really like think about? I was asking Caleb on the way over here, is there a way you feel like kind of in a rut with your playing? Are there scenarios at your church where you feel kind of like, I don't know what to do, or I feel like I need to be just doing something else, but I don't know what that is? Any point of frustration in your playing, whatever? Raise your hands. Yeah. Yeah.
Hammer-ons, petitions, walk up and down, and you go in between the chords. Just a little bit more than just.
I was thinking about grabbing a pencil. Yes, yes. And I think that packet and what we'll talk about with chord families and understanding like some of this information. You know, you think about getting better at an instrument, you think about practice, you think about investing that time, and it can be discouraging because, you know, I'm sure many of you have things to do, whether that's school, whether that's family, whether that's children, whether that's work, on top of serving in a church. Not many of us are full-time at a church, and so it can be kind of daunting, like, how do I get better at stuff? And you can fold in just even kind of being aware of some of these ideas, because you're doing this multiple times a month, maybe every week, you know, consistently throughout the year. You can just sort of attach, like, okay, I've been doing this forever. Now I know what it is. And now I can start to, like, just be aware of these ideas and collect them, even if it's just week to week as you're serving. You add a little bit of intentionality to that, maybe a little bit, 10 minutes of practice twice a week or something, and it's even more so. So, yeah, that's Chord Family stuff, though. Okay, anybody else?
I've been working on the cage system this summer a lot, and now I'm trying to figure out how to transpose that over into open chords.
Yes. That is number 4C. Cool. And 4D.
We started praise and worship team with our school, and I have students who are just learning guitar, and I'm just learning guitar as well.
You just have to be 1 week ahead of them.
Well, we kind of surpassed already, but just some tips of how to learn new stuff with it, because right now they're just strumming straight chords, and I know there's more to do, I just don't know how to help them.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, some of the stuff on the website could help. On the website, specifically for acoustic, I have understanding and thinking in numbers, like with chord progressions, and that's how you take your cage stuff and, like, know how to, like, apply it. Okay, I found that I can move this capo here, but now I have no idea what these chords should be for this song. A really easy way to do that, these kind of chord families, like, here's where we live, let's exhaust these resources and really dig in, because we often think, okay, I'm strumming, that's all, I'm just strumming, I got like C's and F's. Well, how many F's do you have? You know, how many C's do you have? There's so much depth you can get into with each of these chord families that we get into, that we have. We tend to think they're not that glamorous, but man, there's a lot you can do. Color chords, drone chords, bigger, stronger shapes, stuff that's more conducive to finger picking and things. How to use a capo incredibly intelligently. You can tell off anybody who says it's cheating if you learn how to do it like this. Finger picking stuff, you know, even just the nuances of how you strum and things. But chord family stuff, cage things is on the website too. Yeah, so I think this will give you a picture of that, but I'm happy to talk more if, you know, shoot me an email or talk at the conference. If you want to catch me and talk guitar, catch me and talk guitar. I'm all game. So. PatrickAndersonGuitar.com. Yep. Somebody else? Anybody else?
Just maximizing practice time.
Yeah. Yeah, climbing all over you at the same time and detuning your guitar while you're playing. We know. I can hit just right now that last point. I think it's on the back page about practicing. Notice I put be realistic, be consistent, and then be realistic. Because we get, you know, I think, have you ever read that? Have you heard that quote from Ira Glass? He does that This American Life show. He has that thing about like our taste and art and frustration. You know, you get into these things because your taste is really good, but your skill doesn't match up. You aren't doing what you know. Like you have a sense that you're not where you want to be. And so often we give up rather than just like pursuing that. And that's really the struggle with practicing. Practicing is a huge physical thing. It's like exercising. It's like you go into the gym or something. You can't expect to be like ripped and by going to the gym for 24 hours and bench pressing consistently. You'll get injured, you know, but that's how we want to do it with guitar. We're like cramming the day before. And your body doesn't remember that stuff in the same way that it will if you had spent, you know, 10 minutes a day for 3 weeks, you know, three or four times a week or something like that. So really with practice, it's consistency plus time. And to be realistic with that, maybe, you know, when I was working at the university, it was really busy, a busy, busy schedule, and we were serving at a Sovereign Grace church plant in Dayton. And I remember just getting to Saturday and getting the music together Saturday night. Sometimes I didn't want to, but I was exhausted. And just thinking, like, how can I do all these things? And so, you know, that's real life. And so to be realistic, we often get into, I want to be better, so I'm going to do, like, the Olympic practice schedule for 3 days and then feel really bad about it. like almost worse than I did before I started that. So, you know, be realistic. What can you handle? What can your family handle? Because that's more important. But just know that you kind of need to train it something to be easy, and that just takes repetition over time. And maybe you put that into your Sunday prep. Like, I do that a lot with students. Say, if you don't have time to just woodshed an idea, which means to practice a lot, just take the songs that you're coming to on a Sunday and use those keys. Practice these things. You can practice the number thing with that. You can practice reading a song with a capo somewhere else and sort of seeing that and thinking in that at the same time. You can think, and you should always have, this is in the musicality thing, you should have a strategy for what you're going to do for the song. Too often, and I've been there too, maybe even like a couple weeks ago, we have a Saturday night service and then two Sunday mornings. And a lot of the times, Sunday is kind of a full group band, but Saturday night is pretty small, and it's, you know, it's hard to get people to serve on Saturday nights. And so sometimes it'll be me and another acoustic player or me and another singer. and so I have to think about, like, a strategy for how I want to play. So anyways, being intentional and all those things. What was it? Yeah, and so, you know, you can use that in your practice, thinking, okay, these are our songs. Here's my flow. I'm going to think about, like, these capo changes here. What would make this easier? What would make this more beautiful? You know, if I do, I don't really want to sing into this thing. Like, in Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Something like that. A little bit more up. That says something. But so does this, and it's in the same key. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can, you know, that's the same exact key, but they say totally different things. And so you can, those ideas don't come out of thin air for people. You don't wake up in the morning and, like, people just aren't so talented that they just knew that from birth. I saw that hand. you have to carve that stuff out and practice with music. You guys got this in this free conference session. It's like a one-to-one relationship, and we don't often think that it is. We think some people are really good and some people aren't. And true, you can have a talent pool that makes things easier for you, but any player, any level of talent will always hit a wall if they're not willing to put in work. And that doesn't mean work that's beyond your capacity as a husband or wife or student or whatever, busy person. That means it's similar to, I was reminded of this when I was planting a tree. You have to dig a big hole when you plant a tree, and you get as much hole as you dig. And it's the same thing with guitar. Like, how good do you want to be? You get as much hole as you dig. and that's exactly it. A lot of it is not magical. And, you know, maybe you'll find untapped talent that you have. I'm like, wow, I just never knew how to practice before. Or maybe, you know, maybe you'll never be, like, shredding, but do you need to? You don't, absolutely, to create beautiful, beautiful, meaningful music. But you'll find that you will progress far beyond what you thought you could. Again, if you're just, you know, realistic about what you can do, knowing that it takes some work, and then consistent with whatever you can handle. And that's great for just, like, that's like spiritual work in terms of self-discipline and stuff, and beating your body and saying, I'm going to get up and go running. Or I'm going to get, can we find 15 minutes more days than not to just sit with a guitar in your hand? Here's a good thing to write down. Just get the guitar in your hands. Get the guitar in your hand, and you will play it. So it's so hard to get it out of the case sometimes, and it just sits there, you know, mocking you and shaming you. Yeah, just get it into your hands, and you'll play something for a little while. so that's maybe, like, my spiel on practice, which is important. If you have any questions on that, feel free. And there's application within, like, well, okay, so I'm approaching Sunday. I have these songs. I want to, what if I need to finger pick this part? Or what if I want to take it down? What voicings do I want to work to, because we're doing this song after this song, which I want to kind of start it differently. Like Bob did that with My Redeemer's Love. We didn't start at 2, 3, 4. He started it on piano because we just came from this, you know, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, greatest treasure of my, you know, weary life, or that's somewhere in the song. And so we're responding differently. And so you think about that, and that's like, you know, music 101 stuff. But when we're tired, when we're busy, when our kids accidentally flooded the bathroom, which got into the wood flooring that we just put in a month and a half before, and we had to rip out 10 feet of it in the middle of the floor 2 hours before I had to go lead on a Saturday night, that you might not be on your A game, you know. And so you might not be thinking musically, or, you know, it was more than so many times. I think CJ said this, you know, we come away from church just so refreshed often, because we then have taken that time to preach the gospel to ourselves and just be reminded. So afterwards, I was grateful for it. But we come into it with tiredness and life and weariness and all sorts of things. But anyways, so that's with kind of with practicing. I can knock that off the list. You had a question?
I grew up in the 70s, like, you know, hopeful songs and things which were great, but it's been this big break, work, now I'm retired. Mm-hmm. I'd like to start a full group. I know that's probably not a popular thing to do, but what
kind of is. I think a fair amount of people haven't used that cut capo, and I'm realizing that I don't have a pick. Perfect. Since this is, sometimes I like to, coming from my academic professor background, I like to explain like big picture and help you understand how this fits in, but I think I can just drop this capo thing on you because this is acoustic guitar tips. Just to put that in a little bit of context, and I guess, let me back up for just a second. So we've done the intro. Number two is just having goals for improving this year. You're playing a lot during the year, whether it's every week, whether it's once a month, whether it's every 6 weeks. You're playing a fair amount during the year. Pick one thing to get better at. That goes back to being, you know, realistic. If you want, pick two things, but pick one thing. Just make it achievable. You know, we too often pick goals that are not achievable and then they just crash and burn and we never do it again. So pick like one thing that you can work on. Maybe that's chord knowledge. Maybe it's the color stuff. Maybe it's the cage thing, how to really use a capo. Practical music theory that can unlock a bunch of stuff for you so you know what this sound always is. We think music is magical in a sense, and, you know, certain things is, but you can figure out how that sound is made and own that. So maybe it's technique with your finger picking or strumming or your time, all of that. Question marks could be something else. So one of the things that I think, jumping to number four right now, one of the things that I think is so key for every acoustic player is to understand the world that we live in terms of strumming and open chords, because that's like the bread and butter of what we tend to do. That guy did a great job, Aaron something, with the, yeah, that was beautiful. That was really great. I'll intro this cage thing really fast, and then we're going towards the double capo thing. So this caged idea, how many of you have never heard about that, or it's kind of like murky, kind of get it? Okay. And if you have before, I can elevate that to a point where you would still need to practice a lot. So, and I still will run through like, okay, I'm in B flat. Let's see, B flat is there. Yeah. Okay, that's where everything is. Okay, now I'm good. So this caged idea, at one sense, it represents the chords that make up almost everything we do throughout the neck. So the key of C and all the chords that go through that, just that shape by itself. You know, you can capo somewhere else and you're getting that, but oftentimes, like when you're playing this E or something, that's actually an A shape that you just moved around. This F bar chord is an E shape that you're like barring there. Does that make sense? You know, that's another, you know, A shape because I'm just moving that around. And you have that, the way that chords are made, just like on a piano, if you don't play piano, you probably know how to make like a C chord, da da da, just, and you can sort of move that around. That's what that chord looks like on piano. Well, on the guitar, these are what these chords look like. That's what these basic chords look like. These Gs, these As, sorry, in the word C, A, G, E, D. And those are all over the place, all throughout the neck. They're just like the parent shapes that you use everywhere with all sorts of guitar playing. Does that make sense? That's Good. And how often do you play like the key of C, the key of A, key of G, key of E, and key of D? And if you're not playing in that key, how often do you capo to that? Like every single time, unless you're doing like Jack Johnson on a Sunday morning or something, which you're probably not. So 99% of the time, you're moving to these open kind of ringing, and they're beautiful. You catch flack for like, oh, it's a Christian G chord. Well, yeah, because it sounds awesome. That's why it's used a lot. So don't be too cool for whatever these voicings are. Just expand your vocabulary. So this caged idea is really important just structurally to what we do with strumming and just voicings on the guitar neck. The idea of a voicing is just a different way to play the same chord. It's like a synonym for words like this is a G, this is a G, this is a G, this is a G, C, this is a G. You know, you can have these G's everywhere. So those are different voicings of G because they're all the same, but they sound a little different. Okay, this cage thing also represents what I call chord families, the key of C and all the chords that go in the key of C, C, A minor, F, G, the key of A, that's like A, D, E, F sharp minor, chords you've played, you recognize, the key of G, how often do you play G, C, D, E minor? Every single time, sometimes A minor. and so these, and then the E and then D, there's not like a mysterious other kind of shape that you use that's not based on one of those, even if you're doing kind of variations of it. And would you agree that like what you can do in the key of C is different from what you can do in the key of E if you're doing like... doing all sorts of stuff in E, that just sounds different than, you know, all this hammer-on stuff. That's more folksy. The other is kind of ringy and open and stuff. All of these chord families have different personalities. So, like, the key of C is its own thing with its own walkdowns. Who said the question about the walkdowns? Yeah. With its own walkdowns, G has its own walkdowns, E has its own walkdowns, and color chords, and, like, this C-sharp minor. You can't make that sound with one of the other shapes without, like, capoing. Or, you know, this A minor. Or something that's actually like not hard to play. This F, I love the sound of this F chord. Just that's a beautiful F chord, F over A with the G and then major seven. and you're only gonna get that sound in the key of, well, not the key of, but I call them the key of C shapes. So it's like the world of that C personality, the world of A. They each have different things they can do. And that's why you use a capo, not because you only know G chords. If you only know G chords, thank you for serving and being faithful. That's great. And use a capo for God's glory. but there's more that you can do. And, you know, why not over the course of the next... Josh in the other session was asking, like, how many times have you served on a Sunday in the last... 5 years, 10 years, if you've been doing it for longer, 20, 30 years. How many Sundays have you served? It's like uncountable. Well, you can't calculate it, but we don't have time. You know, you can just add these little, why not? Like over the course of a year, get better at playing with E and moving around. Why not get better at just exploring D? Why not get better at doing like the cut capo stuff? So each of these have different personalities, and without going too much into it, that's why you use a capo. So that I can get the sound that I want for any particular song that I want, or that's like if I'm playing by myself or in a band context, or if I'm playing like with other instruments, like a keyboard or another guitar player, I might not want to be in exactly the same place they are, like another acoustic. I never like it too much when like me and the other acoustic guy are both playing G chords and just strumming. Because, you know, I could get somewhere else. We can get a bigger sound. If that's all you can do, don't feel bad about it. Thank you for serving and being faithful. But, you know, we should, like, move the target a little bit further. And, you know, over the course of the next year, that's my thing. I'm going to learn how to do that. you know, if you serve for 10 more years and you pick 10 things over 10 years, think of how good you would be. That's awesome. Okay, where was I? So that's why you use a capo, for musical reasons, for ensemble reasons, you know, musical reasons. So this cage thing, and this is where it's not, not everybody is like an auditory learner. I wrote this stuff down and it's on the website so you can see. Like, if you can't see that, don't worry about it. I'm gonna play it in a second. Not only does cage represent the key, the world sounds you play in, the personalities of the chords, it also is the sequence that it moves up the neck, which is amazing, that it makes a word and that it works like this. And so everyone agree, if I would agree, if I play this, I'm playing the C shape of a C, right? That looks like a C to you. Is this also a C? It is by sound, but it kind of looks like I'm capoing an A. What about this one? I wouldn't recommend this fingering. That's like a G shape, but it's still a C. What about this? What shape is that? That looks like an E, right? Just E, but I'm capoing it with my finger. But that's moved to where it would be a C. So an E shape can be a C. You know, we think of this as a C, but that's only a C when it's right there. So this is all bigger. And so the next would be the D shape. It's still a C, but it's up there. I'd have to capo 10, which is not my preference. And then it starts over with the C shape of C, and then the A shape of C, and then I run out of space. but did you notice that it went in the flow of the word? C, A, G, E, D. Does that make sense, like, conceptually? Okay, let's pick another key. Let's pick the key of G. Think about the word cage. C, A, yeah, spelling it backwards. No, C, A, G, A, C, A, G, E, D. If I'm on the chord G, and if you know this already, don't say it. Save it for the people who are learning it. What shape am I on right now in the key of G? The G shape of G. You know, that's only a G when it's right there. Right now it's a B flat. So anyways, that's a G. So what's next in our word cage? C, A, G, E. Same thing. What's next? D. What's next? What's next? Then A. Then the G shape of G at the 12th fret again. Everything just, this is like a tiny guitar up here. If you know, this is like, there's like a stop sign right here. Where it's like, this is a great unknown. But this is like the first fret again, the second fret, the third fret. You can play all your chords. Sounds like a music box, but just don't be afraid of heights. Did you see how that worked, that flow? So let's say you have no idea, like, that's awesome, but I don't know where to put the capo. Well, you can get there. But let's just say right now you are in the key of D, and you're thinking, well, the other guitar player is playing in D there too, or what options do I have? Always the next two will work in the word cage. Sometimes more, sometimes three or four. But if I'm in the key of D, in C, A, G, E, D, it just goes back and starts again at C. What's my next option up the neck? C shape, and then what? A shape. So a capo 2, C, capo 5, A will work for D as well. So I have three choices for D. I have D shapes, I have A shapes, I have, where am I? D shapes, I have C shapes, I have A shapes. Yeah, there we go. And so I have three very different sounds that I can choose for the key of D. Does that make sense? What if I'm in the key of, let's pick a different key. I think you have the caged keys well, probably. So let's choose B flat. B flat isn't one of those caged keys, so it just doesn't work. It does work. So what's, I always do this. I did this in the last class too. I'm like, what is the lowest, B flat that you can play on the neck? Like if you've ever bar chord, it's like this one right here, which is an A shape, right? Maybe it doesn't look like it with me smashing my fingers on the neck, but here's, it looks like an A, right? I'll agree that's an A. That's that bar chord A. Well, now I have the starting shape. So in B flat, the lowest shape is an A shape. What's the next one? G shape, which you'll probably all know that, capo 3 G if you get a B flat chart. And then what? E? Somewhere, D somewhere, and C somewhere, and then it just keeps going as much neck as you have there. What if I'm in the key of F? What's that shape? Do you see how that's an E shape? Everyone see that? That's an F. It's E with the barring that first fret. So I know that the next shape is going to be a what? A D, and then? And so the next two or three always work. So I have, for the key of F, I have capo 1 E, I have capo 3 D, and I have capo 5 C, which is great. C shapes for the key of F, you know, you got... I put the capo on really poorly there, which I should talk about. That's a good guitar tip, capos. still working towards the double capo thing. But does that make sense for, like, wow, this cage thing? Even if I'm, like, at, like, caged 101, I always know what capo options I have now. If I can find the lowest shape, I always know the next couple. And for, like, G, it would be E is next, then D is next, and C is next. All of those work well. So you have four options for the G, assuming you don't cut capo. That's my transition. Okay, so chord families, cage system, which is the flow, but also the world you live in for the keys. You can use a capo to get to those different spots. You might not know how to do that right now, which is why I wrote it out on a piece of paper in all the cage keys, so C, A, G, E, and D, and then I think there might be like B flat on the website or something, but so if you want, you can come grab a copy of these. And this has a lot more stuff into it in it as well about finger picking and stuff like that, but does that conceptually make sense? Do you have questions about that? Question?
Is that also the key to, like, on electric guitars, play partial chords?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you tend to think in, like, little triad shapes. Like, that's a C, and that's an F, and this is a G, and you might find better versions of all these. Actually, that was a G. G, C, D, E minor. But they do all come from those larger shapes. But you can think about them in smaller bits, too. This is a great place to start because they're big shapes we're familiar with. I say every guitar player should get to know all the notes on the neck, and that will free you up like you cannot imagine. And I didn't talk about the secret idea that's been, like, the biggest thing to help me ever musically with understanding the guitar neck. I teased that in the last class, and I forgot. So maybe I'll do this one. Or maybe you'll have to find me during the conference, and I'll bestow that upon you. No, because it's not the bread and butter of what I want to talk about. What time do we end? I ask this question every single... What?
2:45.
2:45, great. I'm doing well. Okay, so now, practicing that stuff, you can... I would tell you to practice the caged chord sequence up the neck. So in the key of C, you start here. Then the next one is A, G, and use a capo if you have to. When you're doing these chords, you're just going for location right now to learn the spots. So don't play a G chord like this. I just do like C, A, maybe the front side or maybe the back half. You just want to know where it is. Use a capo if you have to. E and then D. You know, you're just kind of finding that location so you can get C, A, G, E, D. My students at the university had to do this in all 12 keys pretty quickly. But start with the caged keys. Then the key of A, you have A. Then the G shape of A. Then the E shape of A. Then the D shape of A. Then the C shape of A. And boom, that's it. And, you know, that's like five things in a handful of keys that you play every week for years. So.
Just maybe come back to this later, but as somebody who comes from the piano, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Depends on your context. Yeah. Yeah, it depends on your context. You know, sometimes there are keyboard players, who should all go buy Bob's new book, who come from a classical background, which is typical, not so much like a jazz or pop background, which teaches you to, like, interpret chord charts and stuff. And so you come to this chord chart that tells you to play a C, and you're like, C what? Like, where? How? And there's like a dialect of how to play this that sounds right in every musical style. But it might be language that is totally easy to you and within your technique, but then you're like, why doesn't it sound like this? Same thing with guitar. And for like this context, like serving and sort of directing congregational singing, I think strumming is super effective. And so I would start with that, with your rhythm. There's a lot more you can do. You know, you can do anything you want. We didn't often steal from like the piano. Oh, we did actually. So anyway, I'm taking a rabbit trail. Guitarists steal from all sorts in terms of like serious repertoire. So a lot of the Spanish composers, Albéniz and stuff, we steal like, you know, that stuff. But there's arguments whether it sounds better on guitar or piano. But anyways, that's for a different session. So I would, for this context, I would go with like understanding chords. And it's not like, it's going to be different from like, okay, yeah, I got a C chord and I can play that. This is like, how many, you have five different chord families you can choose for almost any song. Two or three of them are going to work really well, and you can transpose, you can be looking at a chart in B flat and playing it in what looks like C or G or whatever, and just like transposing in your mind. And let's just jump, we've done like conceptual for a second here. There's tons to practice there and stuff, and I'm happy to direct you with that and answer questions, but the number thing is really important. We'll talk about maybe in a second, but let's jump to some like practical kind of chord stuff. In this packet, which maybe you can get more of, because I have about 10 here, not just so I have the cage thing, but I wrote down like the key of C chords, the key of A chords, the key of G chords, the key of E chords, the key of D chords, and cut capo chords as I like to play them. And there's more than this, but you know, often you might get like a look online for like how to play an F chord, and you'll get like that, which is not the easiest, or maybe even like the cool, that's also an F chord. And maybe that's not your go-to strumming, but there are other ways than, you know, often you look at it like a chord encyclopedia and they're just not helpful. I don't need 10,000 ways to play that A chord. I need the one that sounds good for this context, which they're not often written for. So I did write in kind of like a chord guide for these five keys that would give you the personality of these things. C is kind of folksy and I like it a lot. You should definitely, the problem chord in the key of C is the F chord. And so a lot of people, you know, play through this. And then like, or, you know, you have like, and you have to squish this tiny little chord down to the bottom. Well, you can fatten this up, and I'm not expecting you to get this right now, but it's in this chord chart, which is on my website or right here. You can fatten it up like this, wrap your thumb around and grab the sixth string with the first fret, and now you have this really big F chord you can strum all the strings for. That sounds really big, and that exists in all of these keys. There are tricks like that for big chords, for drone chords. You know, if you would add sort of like this high-end thing to the top, that kind of ring that's happening. Certain keys favor certain sounds, but you know, C, A, G, E, and D all have different personalities like that. And maybe we can dive in, assuming we sort of generally get through everything, to some more specifics there. But there's this world of cut capo. How many of you have used like a cut capo before? You're comfortable with it? How many have never heard of such a thing? Okay. On the guitar, you can do altered tunings, tune all the strings to an open chord, and it's amazing, and it sounds beautiful, and you have to relearn how to play your chords and stuff. Like, there are just musicians throughout history that are doing this. If you ever listen to a lot of Joni Mitchell, she used tons of altered tunings and things, and that's awesome, and it's inspiring, but it's not often conducive to like what we do with three or four or five songs on a weekend, having to change keys and stuff because you're sort of stuck. And so there's a way to use a capo that kind of emulates a really popular altered tuning called dadgad. That's where you tune your strings to D, A, D, G, A, D. And you're just changing a couple of them. These two outside ones go down to D. The second one goes down to an A. With this capo scheme, you're leaving those the same, but you're raising up the middle strings, which is kind of like the same thing. The other one, you tune some down. Now you're raising some of the others up, so it's kind of the same thing. And this is something you can use with D shapes. In the key of D, we're used to avoiding that string. It just doesn't sound great. Some of you have probably done like drop D. That's where you can tune. Your low string down to a D. So now instead of this, you get. This is a bigger, richer sound, but it messes up your chords. And it's not that great for changing keys and stuff. So one trick you can do, you can put your capo on backwards so that it doesn't cover that low string, and you can still, with the D shape right here, get that kind of sound for a drop D sound in the key of E, because D capo 2 is the key of E. But make these little cut capo things, which I forgot my Kaiser one. I have this G7 one, which is really great. This can get us into capos for a second, too. It's just only covering part of the strings. It's only covering strings 5, 4, and 3, and leaving the 6th string and the 2nd and 1st strings open. And so what this does is emulates that open tuning sound and just gets me this, I mean, takes D from that, which is nice, to this, which is cool, to this, or even, you know, this is like a D sus chord. Just beautiful chords. So it sounds like an open tuning with that thing, and I'm playing with D shapes in the key of E, because capo 2 D is E, because if we have an E shape, what's the next shape of the neck? C, A, G, E, D, then C, then A, then G. And in the last page of this chord packet, and I numbered them, so it's page 13, because there's 31 pages in this thing. this has... I don't know if you can see this. There's like chord charts with a little bar at the top. That's like my cut capo chord chart thing. and so that gives you like all the tons of the chords that I like to use. And this just gives you such a big open sound. And what's happening with the double capo thing is that this nut is acting like a capo and stopping the strings. So right now I have a relationship of the strings being stopped here and a capo in the second, partial capo in the second fret. Sometimes they're called partial capos. It's really as if this is happening. And so if I just move this up, if I capo 1 and 3, now I'm in the key of F. Which is cool. And now I'm in the key of G if I go like 3 and 5. And this isn't magical stuff like you just know it or you don't. You can learn it. It's not that complicated. I could show it to you after this class, have you repeat it for 1 minute, and you would never forget it. Capo 3 and 5 is G. Capo 3 and 5 is G. Capo 3 and 5 is G. Now you probably won't remember. You won't forget it. So yeah, this is the key of... This is the key of G. And... you know, a musical reason to do something like this. One, would you agree that kind of has a sound to it that's different from like C chords down at the bottom of the neck, which are also great, but a different flavor? You know, we do that song sometimes, This I Believe, which is the Hillsong tune based on the Apostles' Creed. And I always loved the piano intro to that. It's like that dun, 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 dun. And, you know, on a Saturday night when I'm lonely and by myself leading from one guitar, I think, how can I make this a little bit more kind of just musically interesting? That's not the main point at all, but, you know, you can bring this along. And I'm going to show you something in the key of D, because this is acoustic guitar tips, not explain all of the philosophy to me. Now that sounds more melodic. melodic and it's rhythmic and it's not hard to play. You know, that's just big sounding and melodic and things, and you just throw a couple capos on and figure that out. And that's a part of, you know, I just didn't like wake up one morning thinking like, oh, I can do that. I messed around thinking like, how can I get, oh, you know, and it took like, I don't know how long it took, but just, you got to carve these things out. You know, I often think of like the idea you have is like this block of marble, and you, it's there, and you just need to like chisel it out until you find it and create something. And that's what, you know, you get as much ditch as you dig with this. Okay, so that's why I use a cut capo and how I use a cut capo. You might not feel equipped to go like lead the next section using a cut capo, but this stuff is here for you. It's on the website if you don't get a copy or lose it on the way home or something. You know, you can shoot me questions or find me here and we'll do a intensive in-between sessions guitar thing tomorrow morning or something like that. All right, so I was also doing something there in the key of D. This is also something I have in the packet, but this is just a particular thing in the key of D, which I just ran into a guy who was in the pre-conference session who I showed these to, and he's like, I stayed up so late practicing these, and now I can do it. So D is usually like D, A, maybe B minor if you're doing that. You know, maybe you do the bar chord, maybe you do this. It has a cool walk down. You know, and in D you can sort of slide up and do these things, and those are nice, and that's in the packet, I think. But in the key of D, you can also open up to these voicings I call a tenth. So think about your G bar chord here. And I'm sorry that it's warm in this room, I know it is. Think about this G bar chord for a second. I can keep the root of this and this sort of middle finger here, which I'm gonna switch to that. And now I have this note. I'm muting this note, fifth string. I have an open D, which goes really well in the key of D. And I have that note from this chord, which happens to be the third. I'm kind of muting these bottom strings just by letting the hand sort of lean down. In certain keys, that works. In the cut capo land, I don't have to mute these bottom strings. But now here's my G. And if I move it up two frets, here's my A. And here's my B minor. Here's my D. And that sounds cool. So if I'm doing something like in Christ, you know, there takes it a different direction for that part, and you can put both of those together and, you know, just decide what, how you want to say what you want to say with the song. And that's really what this is. It's like expanding your vocabulary. You might feel like, you know, as a guitarist, you have a little guidebook in a foreign language and you know how to ask for a taxi or something. But you want to, like, you want to internalize it more so that, it's true, so that you can speak. And it's just about, it's not about, like, doing everything that I can do, because I've done this for, like, 27 years. Played guitar for a long time. And Dedek had, like, you know, when you go to, like, school for that and are a reclusive teenager, you have all the time in the world to put towards things like that. But you can just grab one idea and get better at that for a little while. Something before Christmas, maybe. Unless something comes up, and that's okay. Be realistic and don't be too hard on yourself. But even now that you know about this stuff, you're going to think about it the next time you pick up, the next time you use a capo and think, well, what's below this or above it? And where is that and stuff? So even just knowing about it now, it's going to start to like accrue in your understanding and you're just going to start to, you know, gravitate towards it. But yeah, so that's some tricks in like the key of D. You can also do those. They're a little bit better for picking in the key of G. These kinds of... sounds nice.
You just play the middle
strings. Yeah, I'm not playing this one. I'm playing this one, fifth string, not playing this open D, playing this open G, because nothing goes better in the key of G than an open G. And then that note here, and then muting the bottom string there. And so, you know, it's not as big. It still might work for something. But yeah, so that's how I use a capo, is I look at a chord chart, I get a chord chart in C, and I think, okay, maybe the other guitar player playing with me only knows how to play C down there, which is fine. So I'm going to capo up in capo 5 and play in G and just sort of look at this and change on the fly. Or I'm the only guitarist playing on a Saturday night and I want to change the key just because I want to play it lower or higher. Or I want to capo somewhere just because I can do whatever I want when I'm playing by myself. Yeah.
Something that seems so important about that is just whether you're leading what you're comfortable with while you're singing and playing. Because sometimes if you're not leading and you can just play other stuff, then you know you might want to be doing the other things up higher in the key.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for me, it's so different when I'm leading the song, I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody, remember all the words, compared to just being there playing in the background.
Yeah.
Or if you're really comfortable with, it's really important.
Yeah, you know, it's for sure, and you should not do something that you're not comfortable with in terms of playing when you're leading. But that could exemplify wisdom right there. And you shouldn't also just examine yourself and say, do I need to be practicing more? Like, is this that hard? Like, could I just get better at this? I remember with this sort of scheme and this cut capo E thing, we just did Sovereign Grace recording, and one of the songs they use kind of this scheme. But also, there's this old hymn called Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken. And with the Enfield crew, we just wanted to do it maybe a little bit differently. Everyone had heard the Indelible Grace. We wanted to maybe make it a little bit more sensitive at the top. And so I thought, how could I do this? I want that sound. I want this. Oh, I'm going to try this. And well, cool. You know, I got that little hammer-on thing. Perish every fond ambition. This was an accident. All of hoped or known. This was like moving my fingers somewhere and like, oh, that works. And just, you know, now that's in my bag of tricks. You hear somebody playing something, come after here and say, show me how you did that. And now that's in your bag of tricks. So you just collect stuff like that. The song that we did, Come Lord Jesus, which is beautiful. Again, the guitarist who wrote it did some really cool stuff on the back of the neck. It was like, I thought, wow, I've never even thought to do that. And it's kind of simple. They're just moving kind of in like these, what are called sixths and stuff. There we go. But we needed to change the key, and all of a sudden that, I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you before, it just obliterates that guitar thing that you did. Like, you know, you want to do that cool thing that Brooks was doing, you know, for Now Why This Fear, but now you're playing in a key where that's impossible. So you have to either compromise and just not do it, or figure out, like, what else can, how could I get that if they want to do that in the key of E? Well, let me try. Recycled that. But that, to kind of go back to your point, but that sort of worked, and it just comes from spending time in these C, A, G, E, D, and then cut capo is a variation on D shapes, and just having those sounds in my head and thinking, okay, I'll try that one. Nope, this one works. Okay, that's great. I love that. But for that Jesus on My Cross Have Taken, I came up with that. And then had to practice it to be able to sing it at the same time. Jesus, at my cross have taken all to leave. And maybe you simplify a part of it, or maybe you just get better at the whole thing. So I often think that when like leading from electric, or maybe not even leading, but wanting to sing while playing electric, where you might have like a thing happening, you just have to practice it. And you'll more than likely conquer it. But if you can't, you know, just simplify it or something. But yeah, just It's one of those two things, practice more or simplify, just to get through.
I feel like I'm kind of stuck. It's doing the same easy chords. And so what would you say is the next step to singing? Because I just lost my lead guitar player, so I'm like, maybe I should start learning some of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you talking about with acoustic? Yeah, you know, I would spend time in my sheets that are C, A, G, E, and D to find some chords that you don't know. And think about this. Think about a strategy with your chords. You want chords to play when the song is kind of soft, and that might be like in the key of C, I might do like, when I want it to be really big, I add that bass note. You know, same thing with that F, maybe I'm doing this, that really beautiful F, and maybe this is my big beefy F or something. You know, in the key of E, if sometimes when a song gets really big, you might wonder why you're here as an acoustic player. But often then I'll go to like a drone sound, which you're borrowing from other, you know, I played in an Irish music, like a traditional Irish music group for a while, and they have all these drone chords that are like, it's like you could spend the whole like first part of the song just doing, and it sounds really good. So when the band gets gigantic, you know, instead of moving around and like, yeah, I might stay up here, E, A, C sharp minor, B, E, A, because you're getting just like, da, 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 just a texture kind of a thing. and so, you know, drone shapes, which this G kind of is that, because you get that ta-da-da at the top of that, and that's why kind of it's useful. It just blends with stuff. But maybe it's more of like the folksy G like this. And to have that in your vocabulary, stuff that's better for picking, stuff that's better for big strumming, stuff that's more colorful, and all of that is kind of in there. So if I want a colorful C, you know, I might do that, or basic rule is lift up a finger or add a finger, and you'll be able to tell very quickly if it doesn't sound good. Nope, that's not one of my choices. Nope. I like that. So, yeah. And you don't have to have like a theoretical treatise behind why you play the chord you play. Just, does it sound good? Great. You added, you know, another word to your vocabulary. So spending time and realizing that what you do is not actually that simple. You might have like electric guitar envy, or, you know, just sort of be stuck thinking like, I just strum. Well, no, how do you strum? Do you strum like this or this? Or do you like pull out locations for, are you able to go big without like ripping the strings? Are you able to keep that same intensity with just kind of whispering over the strings? Catch some hammer-ons and pull-offs and stuff. There's a lot you can work on there. I mentioned this in the other class, but I think every guitarist should learn like one bluegrass tune. Whether you like that music or not, just pick one bluegrass tune and learn how to... I'm messing it up. But, you know, man, that works on your picking, where nothing will be that hard after that in terms of like... That'd be really easy. that one was called Blackberry Blossom. spend time in those chord families, because there are chords that you don't know, Spend time getting to know that cut capo. Spend time learning to move that stuff around so that when you can look at one song, you have at least three choices for every song. And then what happens if you don't let yourself, not while you're leading, but when you're practicing, you don't let yourself use a pick for a while. And maybe with your basic G chord, you just want to, how can I make that different than, like, I feel like I've exhausted every, you know, thing that I can do with that G chord. Well, maybe you haven't. You know, maybe there's, or maybe, or, you can play a scale. Not that that's the thing that you're going to do, but all those notes are available. Or these G chords. E minor. you know, discover new stuff and expand your vocabulary in each key, getting really good at seeing a chart and being able to take it in different voicing arrangements and stuff. This can be your Christmas Eve, O Come Emmanuel chord. Anyways, yeah, you're going to find like big chords that you didn't know. You're going to find more color chords and finger-picking chords and droney chords and chords up the neck. And spend time in C, A, G, E, and D. You know, you could also memorize like, okay, we often play songs in E-flat and B-flat and F. What's my capo scheme for those? And man, I just have this stuff like memorized now that I've been like teaching it forever, but also just thinking about it for a long time, because the lab of you serving each week is really useful to like ingrain this stuff, because that is practicing when you just have to, you know, play and rehearse and yeah, prepare. And if you prepare, even if you don't prepare, just playing it and realizing, well, that wasn't very good. I'm gonna do something else next time. And you do that, you know, every bit is like just taking a tiny step forward, or maybe more if you're interested. So that would be one. And then finger picking through that stuff. I have a whole, I mentioned with the finger picking, and I'll just give you my short kind of spiel. With finger picking, because it's such a unique thing that the acoustic guitar can do. Sure, a piano can arpeggiate a chord, and so can anything with strings, but it's just the way that it sounds on the acoustic guitar. And so I kind of have four approaches that I use, and this is in the packet too, and I have tabbed versions of this. If you don't get one, you just say, hey, could you send me what you made up for that, and I'll send it to you. Just kind of walking up and down the strings. That's a really simple way of doing it. That's all you can do. That's beautiful. You can do a lot with just that, changing some notes around and stuff. You can make that faster. You can change it to 6 or 3. So that's kind of just walking up and down the strings, and I usually the thumb will track the bass note changes for the chords. And these three fingers will sort of sit on these bottom strings respectively, index, middle, ring. And so that's just kind of general walking around the strings. Also, I kind of think in this, I call it the piano approach. It's where, like, if you're a keyboard player or if you've heard a keyboard player, just kind of lightly sort of play a rhythm where you do chord, finger, chord, and just sort of like, that probably didn't make sense at all, but yeah, just kind of like, da, 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 right hand, da, full chord, da, da, just alternating like one note in between. I could do something like that, and that's what I did for trying to make a guitar version for Show Us Christ. If you've seen, I did a bunch of guitar tutorial videos for Sovereign Grace songs, and it goes into a little bit more than just like, here's how to play Show Us Christ on acoustic guitar. It's like, check out this picking pattern. What about this chord voicing? You might think about that. So there's maybe some things you could pick up from those if you haven't already. But, you know, grabbing like a chord with your thumb, middle, and ring finger, and then alternating with your index here, going like, and that has more motion than, it's different from, you get more of the full chord at once. And so I did something like, slight variation on it. And that's, you know, it's a little fuller sounding maybe, and I think of that as like a piano approach. Then there's kind of this brushing idea, and you can practice most of these with a pick too, which you probably should, because that came up in the pre-conference session, like how do I go from picking to strumming and stuff. But we did this in Shine Into Our Night, if you know that one. And that has a different feel too. And it's really easy. You're just playing the note with the thumb and then sort of swiping up with your index finger and not being that careful about it. And I just think of that, I just made up that word, brushing, that's all. And that's like the whole song. But that can be a great way to sort of start like a, because it has like a pulse going to it. Like, oh, creatures of our God and King. A little faster. Where you're not strumming and you're not doing like, which sounds busier almost, or it's too fast. It just has more of a pulse to it. So I think of that as brushing, and that's really easy to do. And then this Travis picking, which sounds like this. And that just, it has distinctly like a thumb alternating like this. Then you adding a finger to alternate that. And I actually, in the packet, wrote like a tutorial into how to get to that. Like, start with your thumb. Now add one finger. Slower. Now add a different finger. Now add both of them. And you have this like tabbed out and sort of written in sequence. So you can get to these points of doing it, which hopefully that's helpful. But each of those sound pretty different. Like, this is kind of folksy. And maybe you don't want to go there. Maybe you want, it's more like, you know. Or maybe it's, you know, more ballady like that or something. Or a little bit more. Sorry. And you can do so many variations on all of these. With this one, it automatically sounds less busy if you just don't play all the time. Leave out the bass note every other time. Little things like that can automatically make this into a much more musical pattern. And that maybe ties into, the idea of the thing that you can do to automatically improve your playing without practicing anything is just to play less. because sometimes it's like, you know, if you got this fire hose, which represents your strumming, and the song starts and you're just like, and then the song is over and you're like, okay. And I used to feel like when I was starting earlier on, I was like, I gotta be playing something. Like, I can't just be sitting here, right? I need to be adding to the song by doing this. Which is just like too much information. And so have us, we've all done that, just to be honest. And so, you know, play less. Maybe if it's a piano-driven song, you wait to come in. Like, let them, you know, be in that intro. And then verse. And maybe you just sit out the whole verse, and they're just on piano kind of driving it. And you have other instruments which are, you know, the song's not going to stop if you don't play. And maybe you do need to play, so don't, you know, keep that in mind. Don't just be like, I'm not playing. Patrick said not to. But you just be kind of musical and think, do I need to do something? Is it going to be now more effective if I wait for, like, the pre-chorus or something? And so that was the intro. Now here comes the pre-chorus, and I start doing, like, what am I doing? One. You know, you sort of build into it in a certain way, or maybe, you know, on the second verse, you're just kind of, instead of strumming because other stuff is happening, you're just doing like, that's such a great sound, just that open ring out brush kind of a thing. When you're doing that, don't make it too fast. Like, here's the beat, don't go. That's more percussive. You can sort of relax around it and just go. That's related to practice with a metronome. And you'll discover this crazy thing that your metronome is broken. You know what I mean? That it starts slowing down. That's because we all rush. Every single person rushes. We have a tendency to, you know, not keep on time with that. And so to have, do any of you play with a click? It's just helpful to keep you honest. But just take a metronome and try your strumming patterns and stuff. And usually, if we're playing like right on, like when we practice, if you do like more classical things and you're doing like, I don't know, you know, fancy fast work with a metronome, you're trying to make it faster, you're trying to like lock with that metronome. But if you were right on top of a metronome, you're probably a little bit ahead of the beat, which contributes little by little towards rushing, so that by the, you know, the bridge, you're like, how do we get so fast? And you can feel it in the, you know, like the how it sounds to sing, how it feels to sing. And so if you just have, like, I don't have a metronome here, but if you listen to that click, had a, just an enlightening conversation with a producer on one of the recordings we did with the Enfield Group, and he said, listen, I just record what you just played. Listen to what happens if I move it back, like 5 milliseconds, which is hard to say, oh, you know, that was, I'm going to slow down 1 more millisecond than I was playing it. That's really, you can't do that. But you can take that beat, like from the drums or from a metronome, and you can sort of let it lead you rather than being on top of it, like I'm trying to get the speed of my scales or something. You know, if you had recording software, you can usually see, like if you keep a metronome on, where that click is, and you can see yourself like right in front of it, usually not behind it, which sounds more relaxed. So even just being aware of that, playing with a metronome, you will play, you will be more sensitive to playing behind the beat a little bit, which sounds so much more relaxed. When I'm doing that, I remember it. I just listen to the drums and feel like I lead the, let the drums sort of lead my rhythm. It's so easy when you get excited, you know, or something, just to kind of push it a little bit more. And so that is like a pro tip for practicing. Use a metronome and just kind of check yourself and see if you can sustain a strumming pattern. Can you move it ahead of the beat a little bit? Can you move it behind the beat a little bit? That's great practice. That's really, really good practice. Even more so if it's like with a scale or something like that. But should I play all the time? No. Have a strategy for what you do. What should I play with, one guitar, two guitars, a band? I mentioned that, like a drone thing when a band is, you know, doing, playing really big. Know who's leading the song instrumentally so you don't have to compete with them. Know, I asked our piano player at one point, it was a revelation to me. When you're driving on the piano and the song is really big, where are you? And he's like, oh, like in the key of G. Like, I'm right here. I was like, that's my G chord. And so when I'm banging away on that, and so is he, we're in exactly the same zone. So why not capo up on a particular song away from that? And just have a, have, go in thinking, how am I going to play this song? Where am I going to sit out? Where am I going to do it less? Is my strumming pattern kind of locking with what the drummer is doing? Because if you're hearing them going like, that, you're probably not going to do the strumming pattern that has pushes in it, because they're not doing that, and that's going to sort of fight. And by push, I mean instead of like doing like, where it's not on the beat so much. If they're doing that, cool. If they're doing like a, then you can do something like that too. But just be aware of what's happening to sort of lock in with the general feel. With strumming, I tend to think in strumming grooves more than a catalog of strumming patterns for which you have to like reference, I need 473B for this song. It's just you strum different feels in four, and there's some stuff on here, really good stuff on strumming that you could even use for teaching and things, which is good. I wanna make sure that we've gone over most stuff in our last 2 minutes. Using learning scales, that's great. It's in the packet, but it's not so important to what we're doing right now. But with that cage thing, just to throw it out there, each one of those shapes represents a scale too, like the C-shaped scale. Anywhere that that C shape is, like in the key of F, it's the same scale, the same exact shape. So you learn a C-shaped scale and the A-shaped scale and the G-shaped scale. Funny thing is, have you ever played like a G chord and just realized you can hammer on everywhere? That's because there's a G-shaped scale right under your G chord. And we, you know, that's just an easier one to find. So you can add a lot of stuff just by knowing where to put your fingers, and that's in the packet too. But let's see, was there anything? So with voicings and colors and walk downs, exploring those caged keys, C-A-G-E-N-D, those chord families, and really just realizing that's where we live. There's so much to mine there. Let's spend some time like really getting categories out of it, like color chords. Where are my walk downs? Where can I lift up fingers and add fingers? Where can I grab chords that I don't know from there? Always be on the lookout. If someone does something you don't know how to do that sounds awesome, walk up to them afterwards and say, can you show me that? Just take ideas and, you know, from YouTube to real life. Yeah, we talked a little bit about strumming there. Just encouraging you to have, you know, maybe pick one thing that you want to get better at this year and totally be realistic. You've got other things that God has called you to in your life besides like guitar wizardry, but this is one thing that you do. And so why not be kind of intentional about it and think, okay, maybe I can just think about like what we talked about. How does that fit into what I already do? You know, I haven't really explored my chord voicing. I've just kind of stuck to what I know. Maybe I'm going to look through that and try to intentionally use this new F chord in my songs in the key of C for the next couple months. Or maybe I'm going to try to like, I had a guitar student who every time he got a chart in E, he tuned his whole guitar down a whole step so that he could, it was just easy for him to capo stuff, which is kind of brilliant and kind of like, come on. You know? And so we worked then at like building his knowledge of playing in these keys, and his homework was, okay, don't chicken out when you get an E chart. You need to play it in E now and just force yourself to do it and practice that. And maybe that's just what you focus on for a while. So pick one thing. If you want to do two, do two. If you want to do five, do five. But just be realistic. Try to be consistent with it. Don't beat yourself up over it. Thank you for serving. Thank you for being faithful. You know, we often feel inadequate in all these things that we do, but just the reminder that God invites us to worship him. Remember that every single time we start the call to worship, and that Christ perfects our worship. We go through him. So if you only know how to do G chords and a capo, it's just so beautiful with the context of what we're doing and why we're doing it and stuff. Final thought, one of the big things that I've done too, and this isn't that thing, but one of the big things I've done that just has really helped my guitar playing in terms of serving and congregational leading and joy has been investing like on the non-technical side of playing. And just, there's a great book by Jerry Bridges called Discipline of Grace, which will take you through the gospel in a way that you just didn't know you didn't know. You know, he's this amazing story about like, consider 2 days, two different types of day, a good day and a bad day. a good day being that you wake up early, you went to bed on time, you got great sleep, you have like spent time in the word, spent time in prayer. It's just like amazing. Things are coming together. Work is wonderful. Day is wonderful. Things are just encouraging. You feel God's presence. At the end of the day, someone, you know, friend comes to you unexpectedly asking what it is to be a Christian, and they genuinely want to know, and you have the chance to share that with them. That's fantastic. And then they say, imagine a bad day where, you know, you wake up with just that dark, they say it's kind of a dark night of the soul. Just, you know, you just have that sometimes. You feel bad, you don't spend any time, you realize you've neglected reading the Bible for the last like month or longer. You know, gosh, any number of things can happen on my way from like getting up in the morning to going to work with just family and children and my sinfulness and stuff, and then your drive. You know, add all the things that can stress you out and make you angry and irritable. And you don't feel God's presence, you feel a sense of your brokenness and your sinfulness, and you maybe you've gone through most of the day not realizing that and just kind of wallowing in it and being bitter. So then at the end of that day, a friend comes to you genuinely wanting to know what it means to be a Christian. Do you feel God's blessing, God's empowerment more on the good day or the bad day? And we're like, the way he describes it too is really good. And you're like, yes. He says, man, we just so easily slip into performance before God, thinking that we have to be good enough or that, you know, we're not. And wallowing in guilt or kind of self-righteousness, both performance, man, that wrecks us. And just, he just sort of pastorally comes along. Man, that, if you want tears while you're singing, you know, hallelujah, all I have is Christ. And that just invigorates your guitar playing even more so. Something like that, the little gospel primer, which is just an amazing resource. It just kind of remind your heart, preach the gospel to yourself. That will make you a better guitar player. But anyways, if you have any questions, I have a little time, you know, after this, I'll stick around. But I'm so happy to help. If you want to email me, check out the website, you know, ask questions while I'm here. I'd be so happy to help you. Let me know. Let's pray for the time. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity, for this conference, for the lives of the body of Christ represented here that you've called to serve the church. Lord, would you help us? Would you enable us? You know our weakness. You know our brokenness, our tiredness, our discouragement, our struggles with sin. Lord, we look to you. We come in the confidence that you have told us to come in Christ. Help us to believe it. Help us to cling to it. Help us to see the beauty of the gospel, to respond accordingly and live lives that glorify you. Lord, help us. We look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.